Okay, so again, all these issues that we've been discussing are very, I think, you know, we all agree that they're very fascinating. But again, you know, we have to move on because there are many, many, many more fascinating things. So just one last point on Misachic Pekuvia. So again, the issue of Misachic Pekuvia, as we discussed, is the, in a way, it either is part of the larger topic of the interface of Rabbanans and Daraisas. Again, hence the Los Asur and definitely the context in Yoma says that. And the question is whether or not, you know, Lamaskana, we're maintaining that in some way, and, you know, basically Kratzi Shir is different, or saying the other degree, the other stamp, and that is, forget about, you know, the regular din of Drabanans and Daraisas, is something unique here, either on the Shem Eid level, or especially on the Hefsid Mamon level, and so on. And then Agav, in addition to the question of Drabanans and Daraisas and blurred lines, you know, and clear lines, you know, and so on and so forth, and, you know, dinim, where we care about the formality, as opposed to dinim, where pragmatically the consequence alone is what's important. And we also ended up having a little bit of a discussion, an important discussion, about what the nature of the, or the scope of Psulei Drabanan really is. What about that regarding, is there a Haggadah Seidus, is there a Kabbalah Seidus? What about with, you know, the anticipation? Does it work for Tfisa? Can we anticipate Tfisa? Are there different types of Tfisa? In that regard, what about, you know, Lahaksik versus Lahotzi? I think I mentioned the Talmud, Talmidei HaRashba. So there ends up being quite a bit of very interest. What about in Ishus? What about in Dinei Nefashos? There ends up being quite a bit of significant difference between Lifnei Akraza, Lachar Akraza. We already talked about Bat Mitzasa, Bat Lakula, right? Whether you can be Mitzaref with Ksherim, and whether that also might depend on Lifnei and Lachar Akraza. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of Psulei Eidus Drabanan that that we just touched on in the context of Misachic Pekuvia. But I wanted to mention one other shita, and of course it really reflects particularly on the Shuas Eidus issues, which are our topics, our bigger topic, in terms of what is Shem Eid, what is Hefsin Mamon, and so on and so forth. The other one I wanted to mention was brought to my attention by Natan, and that is the Or Sameach, right? We can't leave it out because it's just quite shocking, right? So what does he say? And he also has it in the Chidushim on Shas, Chidush Rav Meir Simcha. Yeah. So what does he have? He starts with the Rashba, right? And you know, is a little bit troubled by the Rashba. Yeah. So the question is, though, what are you going to do if you don't hold like the Rashba? What are you going to do about the possibility, the daya that says that Misachic Pekuvia constitutes a chiyuv shuas eidos, even though lemaisa you're not going to be motzi mamon al piv? So where's the hefsid mamon? Yeah. So what does he say?
He says that the Rav is not saying that Misachic Pekuvia is higher than shuas eidos. It just means that he's shy of the shuas eidos enough that he's going to still be puttered from shuas eidos.
Yeah. So that's a very remarkable interpretation, very dachuk, but the Or Sameach says it. So it just highlights, you know, certain things, accentuates at least certain things that we've talked about. In other words, again, we spent a bit of time on Shavuos Kafeim and Beis, and even in the context of discussing, I was outlining or surveying, you know, the importance of Vuhuayd, Roy Lahoyd. Right, so even then, I was suggesting that, like, even among exclusions from Eidos, right, that there might be differences, you know, that could be reflected in the nafka mina of chiyuv shvuas bitui, or again, to put it the way that we've been putting it, cases where you have a shame or a chalos of shvuas ha'eidos, even though you don't have the actual chiyuv korban of shvuas ha'eidos. And, you know, we pointed out that there could be different examples. In other words, a discussion of Rashi and the Ramban and the Mukha Yosef, you know, within Rav on Chafayim and Beis, and instead of just saying, you know, everything yes or everything no, that we might distinguish maybe between different Psulei Eid, even on a Daraisa level, and certainly the difference between Daraisa and Drabanan. As well as, you know, even more amorphous things like Melech, which we'll get to in just a second. In other words, to suggest that in some cases, where there's a p'tur befoal of korban shvuas ha'edos, there is nonetheless a shame shvuas ha'edos, because begavra, you don't have somebody who is fundamentally excluded, you know, from edos. So we were talking about this and talking about, you know, drawing light. We, you know, in our most ambitious, never suggested that that's the pshat, you know, in the Mishnah, meaning that when the Mishnah says shvuas ha'edos no heges, and it's talking about chiyuv and p'tur. Actually, Joey raises this question to me, but that you know, that maybe no heges means that there is a shame shvuas ha'edos, even when there is no chiyuv korban shvuas ha'edos. But pashtus, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. It's definitely not what it's saying when it comes to nashim and krovim and psulim. It's certainly not saying ein no heges there. Certainly means that there is no that there's no chiyuv. But the Or Sameach seems to be suggesting that if you, according to the Ban Damar, who's that, Rav Papa, right? That Mesachik Bekuvia is chayiv, I'm sorry, that Mesachik Bekuvia is not excluded from Korban Shvuas Ha'edos. In the Mishnah, that all we mean by that is that there will be no chiyuv bitui. Again, it's that middle, you know, that, call it a sweet spot, I don't know what you want to call it, a dochek spot, I think it's a sweet spot, where there is a shame shvuas ha'edos, right, even though there's no befall chiyu. There's no befall chiyu because he agrees with the Rajba that lo yitachein a korban shvuas ha'edos without a real hefsed mamon. But since mechsi, can use the language of the Gemara, mechsi chazi midaraisa, so there is a shame aid. So instead of saying, oh, this is a view that says that shame aid is enough, what he's saying is, this is a view that says that shame aid is enough to have a chalos shvuas ha'edos, not for a chi of korban, but for that shame, enough to dispel bitui. So that is a very remarkable perush, one which highlights a perspective which just can't hear of korban shvuas ha'edos befoal without a practical hefsed, but also which highlights this middle status that we've been discussing. And again, even if you think that's not the pshat Masachi Bekovia, it is reinforcement about this idea. And again, I think logically that you could say that about Psuleidus Drabon, and I did say that right when we were serving. I think you might even say that about different Psuleidus Daraisa. But the idea that that you could plug that somehow into the Mishnah and that that's what Noheges might partially mean, that is a very, very, very big, very big chiddush. Okay, then he connects it to some other things, which I don't think is necessary, frankly, you know, to this, right, to this part of the piece. Namely, what does he say? He has this idea that in general, when it comes to dindur dine derabanan,
in a state of limbo because of the din that Beis Din will just go to the
Yeah, that you can kind of anticipate that, you know, since the bezum, which is godol mimenu b'chokhma of the minion, might be mevatel, so we always kind of, when there's a choice, this is his idea, of like, you know, defining something from the outset or kind of waiting, you know, till the end of the story, you know, for its final, you know, legal determination, that we always wait because this is something that's kind of in limbo. So that is, then he has some other rayas, tumah, Tzibur, Lefnei Zrika, and other things like that. That I think is really, really mechudash. He talks about, he's trying to explain things like why there's a difference between Brewer Daraisa and Brewer Darbanan. But basically, you know, this is a further reason, I guess, to think that Mesachik Bekuvia has a shame name. I just don't think you need that, and I think it's always a little dangerous to say things like that, to be honest. Much more even in Daraisas than it is in Drabanans. But I think it's not sayable in Daraisas at all. But even Drabanans, he's not saying that we second-guess the Drabanan. He's just saying that there are two critical moments that when it comes to Dine Drabanan, typically, you know, we wait. Like, that's his pshat in. It's an interesting, fascinating pshat in Yesh Breira b'Drabanan, you know, that you always go l'mafreya, but retrojecting from the later point. So that's an interesting, you know, Kedarko, the Or Sameach, a very, very big Mechadesh. But on the Mesachei Bekuvia part, and on those two points, It's really, really interesting. Okay, so let's talk about Melech. I don't want to spend so much time. The problem of Melech, as we know, is really there are three kind of problems in Melech, one could say. The first two have to do with the sources themselves. I mean, there's just confusion in the Makoros. Avrami, what do I mean by that? Like the earlier Makoros, and then on the second level, you know, things like the Rambam. And then, of course, there's the third problem, and that is the conceptual question. The substantive question, like what's wrong with Melech? And if we can identify what's wrong with it, does that justify its status according to various Rishonim? So let's take one at a time, Avrami. What's the status? Yeah, I wasn't just going to, you know, call on you and then grab your answer. You know, sometimes I do that by the bad habit, but, you know, hopefully it's out of excitement, not out of, territorial, proprietary something or other, but whatever, self-aggrandizement. But, yeah, so go ahead, Avrami, go ahead. What's the problem with the Makoros?
There is a seeming sphere in Gemaras and Sanhedrin.
Correct. So if you look at the evidence itself, objectively, superficially, certainly, cursorily, we'll say, rather, then you just get totally different impressions. Let's start with Sanhedrin. What impression do you get from Sanhedrin? You have a Mishnah and the Gemara.
The Mishnah says that
it says across the board.
Yeah, by Melech.
By Melech.
And then the Gemara seems to be divided between Maffei David and Maffei Israel.
Yeah, Mishamaisa Shahaya, the story with Yanai, which we're familiar with.
That they're seeming up because of the theory of the Rabbanan, because of the Maisa Shahaya from Yanai, that they're Maffei Israel, these are going to be Lomed, 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 Lomed.
Yeah. So the impression that you would get from there is that if not for this Maisa Shahaya, they would be done, they would be Nidon, they would be made, and it would be made in Allah. If you just had that alone, there's no reason to think pretty much otherwise, correct? So then you would get the impression that there's no Doraisa status that's different of a Melech. The cause for pause, is what?
Shavuos,
before we get even to Shavuos, the only pause, in that analysis, all things being equal, even before we get to Shavuos, but you're right, Shavuos is going to, throw a monkey wrench into the system. But even before that, it's Kohen Gadol a little bit. Because what do we say about Kohen Gadol?
Kohen Gadol, we say that they are done and done, so they are made.
Are they made? Is the Kohen Gadol made?
Yeah. Oh, only by mouth.
Ah, okay. So, and that, of course, is something that we've discussed already. Meaning, so the only, why do I say that that's a cause for pause?
Because presumably they may have both Melech and Kohen Gadol, but both have similar reasons.
If Kohen Gadol is a paradigm, you have the line in the Gemara about Kohen Gadol? If Kohen Gadol is a paradigm, so if Kohen Gadol is not going to be made in many cases or most cases, right, then you would think that Hua Din Melech or maybe even Kol Shekein Melech, because Emasei Alecha, there's in both cases it's Ein Kvodo Machol, but in the hierarchy, you would think that it's Melech Kohen Gadol Talmud Chacham. Okay, what's the line in Kohen Gadol? In the Gemara? And the Gemara applies V'Hisalamta, right, to Kohen Gadol. Or compares it to Visalamta. Okay, but either way. And what does the Gemara say? When is a Kohen Gadol ever made?
By Melech.
By Melech. And then, okay, what's exactly the case? Is it a Ben Melech? The Melech is there. Okay, that we can leave aside for the moment, the details of that. But basically, my point is that if you just read the Mishnah of the Gemara about Melech, the impression you would get is that these are all, that number one, there's Malchi Beis David is included in everything. Malchi Yisrael is included in nothing. And all of that is a din d'rabbanan. So that anytime you're omed on the din d'oraisa, right, which in our Gemara, just to reference our Gemara for a second, it sounds like, we are interested in it because the Gemara here, as we'll see and discuss it just more in a second, is contrasting Melech and Mesachi B'Kuvia, right? Mesachi B'Kuvia is Mechzi Chazi Midaraisa, and that's why, we might distinguish between them. Right, Rav Papa. The Gemara doesn't ever say Masha Enkein Melech, that it's in Din D'Oraisa, but by implication they certainly are saying it. So in contrast to that, the whole sugya in Sanhedrin sounds like, number one, Malchei Beis David is no status at all, no different status, and that everything about Malchei Yisrael is only a Din D'Rabbanan, and that that is true for all four Dun Dunim made Me'idin. As I say, the only problem is Kohen Gadol. So with respect to Kohen Gadol, we know a Kohen Gadol is not made because of some kavod issue, correct? What we're not sure about when it comes to Kohen Gadol, this is, we've done already, so I'm just mentioning this quickly, is what about in Dine Iser or Dine Nefashos, right? The Tosa says that he will be made, right? And there's a debate within the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold about Kohen Gadol, you know, in matters of Isturim? Because the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, as we know, right, the diuk is that when it came to Talmud Chacham, right, he distinguishes between Isur and Mamon. When it comes to Kohen Gadol, the Rambam registers in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Eidos, what is it, Halacha Gimel, Kohen Gadol without making the distinction. So is it Huadin, right? Or is it a contrast? And if it is a contrast, so is all that quantity, if there is a difference between Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham, and Kohen Gadol is excluded from Eidos, even in a situation of Isur, right? How do we really understand that? You know, is that because, there's no kavod problem for Talmud Chacham b'makom Isur, but the Kohen Gadol, whose kavod is works differently or is on a different level, you know, so even b'makom Isur, this is what we discussed. We discussed all this, right, with Tumim and so on and so on. The Baletosis, actually, in Sanhedrin, which we already are familiar with, say that Kohen Gadol and Melech, well, we'll see in a moment, you know, would be made, right, Lafrushe Meisura, right? But it's quite possible. In the Rambam, it's a debate among the Mefarshim, right, the Kesem Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech. They get involved in that regarding Kohen Gadol, correct? But once you say that, once you know that Kohen Gadol at least is excluded on the Mominous part from Eidos, that's a Gemara, but he's also going to be made to a Melech or a Ben Melech or the presence of a Melech, whatever the case may be. So then you just wonder in the Gemara, how come they don't say anything about Melech? Because it's so obvious? And the Rambam, by the way, in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Aleph, does not mention Melech either, correct? So this is interesting. What's going on in the hierarchy of Talmud Chacham, Kohen Gadol, and Melech? What's the different relationship between Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham? What's the relationship between Kohen Gadol and Melech? Is it conceivable that just Huadin, or that Melech is much, much more or worse, meaning he's not made at all? Or is it even possible, if you were just take the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kipshuto, to say that, you know, Talmud Chacham has a limited, you know, tour from Eidos, a Kohen Gadol, right, has that and maybe more? Is it possible to say that Melech has no p'tur, right? D'Oraisa? Or and Malchei Beis David? Right? Even Drabanan? Is that conceivable? The Pashtus, that's very difficult to say. But that does seem to be the view of Avrami? All things being equal, is there anybody who holds that way, that a Kohen Gadol, that a Melech can be made?
That Melech can be made in general.
Even if a Kohen Gadol can't, that a Melech could? I'm just pointing out that if you look at the sugya in Sanhedrin about Melech, you get the impression that D'Oraisa and even Drabanan from Malchei Beis David, they're fully obligated beings, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
our concern is, what about Kohen Gadol? So what I'm saying is, you could say three things about Kohen Gadol. You could say, yes, of course, so what we said about Kohen Gadol certainly applies to Melech, right? You could say Kohen Gadol the Kol Shekein Melech, quantitatively or qualitatively, but we don't need to say it for some reason. But then, you know, it's really, if it's even worse, or especially if it expresses itself in a significant way, that, you know, its absence from the sugya is interesting, right? Or for some, you know, if you want to be a strict constructionist about it, you could just be impressed with the fact that there is no parallel Gemara that says that Malchei Beis David or Malchei Yisrael D'Oraisa are pater miedus. So how would that work logically, and is there anybody who says that? Or does anybody say that, or seem to say it? Well, we know already, we've mentioned it. No, I mean, not the Rambam, but the Sefer Chinuch, right? Sefer Chinuch Kuchot Beis says that Melech is made umi'idin. The Minchas Chinuch says, what are you talking about? How could that be? It's against, we'll get to it in a second, it's against the Gemara and Shavuos, right? And it's against the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because Melech can't be less than a Kohen Gadol. He says, I think this is Tamua Biyoter. We'll have to get back to, so what does the Chinuch hold? Right? So if the Chinuch holds, yeah, of course, I mean, Betoras, we'll get to it in a second, I mean, you know, the most radical thing to say for the Chinuch is that he thinks it's a machlokas asugyas. He thinks that Melech is made legamri. He thinks that legabe this halacha, you know, a Melech is less than a Kohen Gadol and a Talmid Chacham. Is such a thing possible? As I said the other day, yes, it's possible. It's just very mechudash, right? Because the point would then be, it would be like we were saying, you know, like the Ritva was saying here, and like the Ran Dea was saying in Sanhedrin, although it's still an important application of it, which isn't so obvious, and that is that, you know, the hierarchy of Kavod for Melech, Kohen Gadol, Talmid Chacham, isn't so simple, right? And then at a certain level, I guess Talmid Chacham and Kohen Gadol is a spiritual kind of a, you know, Kavod. Whereas Melech, Emaso Alecha, is more of a political, you know, kind of kavod. And maybe Dafka, this would be Mechudash, right? Then when it comes to Eidos, right, it's good for the system, you know, that a Talmid Chacham and a Kohen Gadol, under certain conditions, should not have to come and testify. That's all very consistent. Whereas, you know, maybe the Melech's obligation, you know, is to uphold the system in a different kind of a way. But it'll be very mechudash. Okay. The alternative in the Chinuch is to say that when he says me'idin, right, he doesn't really mean lemaisa. He means fundamentally. Right? He's just not relating to the problem of kavod. In other words, that what the Chinuch is saying is a conceptual statement. Do we ever have such a phenomenon in the Sefer HaChinuch? So the Sanhedrin people, you know, might remember this. I think we do in a number of places. I'll give you one example from early Sanhedrin, the introductory Sanhedrin topic, right? Shoftim v'shotrim titan v'cha b'chol sharecha. There's a mitzvah of minui shoftim, right? So it's pretty clear in the Gemara that that is true. You know, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, right? Because since the Mishnah says in Makos and Avzayinam and Aleph that Sanhedrin oheges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz, the Gemara goes on to discuss, you know, the obligation of minui dayanim, right? And see, the Girsa seems to be that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael it's b'chol pelach u'pelach u'b'chol ir v'ir, and in chutz la'aretz it's b'chol pelach u'pelach, but not b'chol ear of the ear, right? The Ramban, in his Perush Al HaTorah, misunderstood or accused the Rambam of thinking that there's no mitzvah of minui dayanim in chutz la'aretz. And he says it's against the Gemara Makos, and so on and so forth. Okay. But the truth is that the Chinuch on that mitzvah of minui dayanim says that the mitzvah of minui dayanim applies ba'aretz and not b'chutz la'aretz. And he connects it, or seems to connect it, to the fact that smicha, you know, needs classical smicha, in other words, of minu dayanim, Elohim smicha, needs to be given dafka in Eretz Yisrael. And Minchas Chinuch and others are very, very troubled, and Rabbi Rucham Frischel Perlo has a whole piece in Sefer Mitzvah Sarpsadjagon where he discusses this, and so on. So, in the end of the day, it seems to be against the Gemara. You know, what does the Chinuch mean when he says that minui dayanim or shoftim don't apply in Eretz Yisrael because there's no smicha? But I think that what he means, what I suggested at the time, is he didn't really mean to say that there's no minu dayanim b'chutz la'aretz. I think what he meant was that, very similar to the Ritva in Masechet Makos, who says that also mechudash, and we know the strong affinity between the Chinuch and the Ritva, right? Both connected to the Ra'ah. Basically, the Ritva in Makos suggests that the din of Shlichusayu Ka'avdinan applies to a Bezdin in Chutz La'aretz as well. That's typically, we use the phrase Shlichusayu Ka'avdinan to explain that we know when you have Hedyotos, you know, that they still are able to function on the basis of Shlichusayu of Smuchim. But if you have Smuchim and Chutz La'aretz, you know, that are you know, that are the judges there, Sanhedrin, Ohegis, Baris, and Chutz La'aretz, we don't normally call that Shlichusayu, right? But I think what the Ritva is telling us, which is very important, is that Sanhedrin, Ohegis, Baris, and Chutz La'aretz. But even in Chutz La'aretz, not because it's neutral, it has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, but because there's an aspect of Shlichusayu, meaning it's really a din in Sanhedrin, Ohegis, Baris, but they can have an embassy. Right, they can export, you know, to Chutz La'aretz, and I think that's what the Chinuch means too. When the Chinuch says that the mitzvah of minu dayanim is be'eretz Yisrael, he doesn't mean to reject the Gemara in Makos. He means to say that, you know, even dayanim of Chutz La'aretz are connected, right, by virtue of the smicha, right, to Eretz Yisrael. It's really an extension of that day. What am I trying to say with this? That sometimes the Chinuch takes a conceptual rather than a pragmatic approach to certain dinim, which is practically misleading. So what I'm suggesting here is that when the, it's not as radical here, when the Chinuch says that a melech is made, what he wants you to know is that there's no psul edus. That malchei beis David, there's no din derabbanan, and therefore there's no begavra. There's no impediment to being an aid. Midaraisa is michsichazi. I lemaisa, maybe there will not be, right, edus, and maybe there won't be shuasa edus, right? Yeah, that might be because, you know, of another halacha, and that is a din of kvod melech, which eliminates the chiyuv hagada. And without a chiyuv agada, right, he doesn't have to come and show up in court. But that's a din in Hilchos Kvod Melech, not a din in Eidos. It expresses itself in Eidos. So I think those are, there are two ways, to, or two possible explanations for this seemingly radical view of the chiyuv. Yeah?
Some people have the nosach figures in the Rambam that says made in a land. Made in a made in a land.
That made, I mean, for Malchei Beis David,
yeah,
which would be like the Chinuch.
It could be what the Chinuch saw. That could be what he's basically.
Could be. As, but again, the one that really stands out is that Meid in Aleim,
yeah,
and not made. You're talking about Hilchos Malacha.
Yeah.
Or Gimel Alach Hazayim. Could be. That's what he saw. But again, what, you know, seeing it, you know, and writing it, you know, he's still responsible for writing it. And what do you do with the Gemara in Shuas? Okay, so that's as far as the Gemara, and that's as far as Sanhedrin is concerned, and that's as far as the Shita of the Chinuch for the moment is concerned. What about Sugyot Sanhedrin Shavuos? Again, to sharp contrast, obviously.
There you have again the focus about in ruining the Haggit, whether or not that's a Sapphic Shavuot or not. One of my number says that it's Dafka Ute Melech, implies then that Melech is not.
Yeah. So it seems, if you were to just take, I'm just trying to, this is the point where, this is the reason why you get so much confusion in this topic. If you were to just take Sanhedrin, you'd get one impression. The impression, let's say, that the Chinuch is running with, except that, what do you do with the logical problem of Kohen Gadol? What do you do with the Sugin Shavuos? If you're only to take Shavuos, you would certainly get the exact opposite impression. Right? Because in our Gemara, there's Man Dekar Shemeh. Is there any distinction between Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Beis David? Nothing. Right? And the impression is that min haTorah, Melech is patur mishvuas haEdus. Okay. Now, the Gemara doesn't say that he's lo michsi chazi. It only says that Mitzachei Bekuvya is michsi chazi midaraisa, right? But certainly the impression that you have, right, by implication, is, I mean, it's clear that Melech is mufka midaraisa, that part is clear. It sounds like, on some level, that he's not michsi chazi midaraisa, right? And it sounds like, bein b'malchei beis David, Bein b'malchei Yisrael. Right? The Ritva here, Alatar, on the Mishnah, we've seen this Ritva already, and I made the point about Noshim with this Ritva. Right? The Ritva says, I don't understand. The Gemara says unequivocally that Melech Lomeid, right? That seems like a Din Daraisa. So how could it be that a Melech Midaraisa is done? And the Sugan Sanhedrin says that he's not done only in Malchei Yisrael, not Malchei Beis David, and that that's only because of a Maisa Shehaya. After all, we have a Mishnah Nida, right, that says, right, Kalaroi, right, Ladun is Roi Lahayid, right, and Kala Pasul Lahayid is Pasul Ladun. So why not apply that to Melech? Here we're saying that Melech is certainly excluded from Eidos, and yet, clearly, Midaraisa, he can be done. You have it there, Avram? I'm the one in the Mishnah, right in the beginning. So his answer is, right, technically you're right, correct? Go ahead. You have it, Avrami? Go ahead.
Yeah, he says that realize that Yishak Shiva done it to
Yeah. Meaning, that's not a Xeris HaKasuv, the Mishnah in Nida. It's a hierarchy of Psulim, right? And if the exclusion for Eidos is Mishum Kavod, right? Even if that is a Daraisa, that doesn't necessarily exclude you from Din, right? We use that to suggest an explanation. Right, the opposite, let's say, of the way, kind of the, at least of the tone, of the way the Rav was explaining Tosis and Bava Kama, Daf Tez Bava and Aleph, regarding the issue of Nashim. Okay, by the way, the point is that the Ritva is assuming that the exclusion of Eidos here is a Kavod Halacha. Right, but the Gemara, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say that it's Midin Kavod, and if it is Midin Kavod, then what the scope of that is, we also just don't know. But certainly our Sugin Shuas implies unequivocally that Doraisa Melech is excluded from Korban Shuas Eidos because it sounds like on some level he's not Nechsi Chazi Leidos. If Kavod is the reason, or maybe it's more than that. We'll get to that in just a second. Yeah.
Later on in the Ritva, he has a strong formulation where he says
say one more time.
So he says, so he explicitly
compares it to Talmud
Chacham. Yeah, which is
although it might be more than Talmud Chacham,
but like clearly as it didn't
cover. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's consistent with what he writes earlier. But in the Gemara itself, the Gemara doesn't say anything about Kavod. And you wonder whether it isn't something maybe more fundamental. Rashi himself says that it's connected with, again, Som Tasom Alecha Melech, right, Shehe Maso Alecha. Rashi says what? Ariel? Yeah, it connects it to a certain din that we spent some time on also. Although we don't know if he means it directly or kind of more as a shiur. What halacha? Oh, Amida, the requirement of Amida, Be'edus, is what eliminates, right, a Melech. Because since a Maso Alecha, it's inappropriate for him to be standing, right? And therefore, he is excluded. So is that just his way of saying Kavod? Or is it a little more, you know, maybe the Tzura, he's Mufka from the Tzura of giving it. The more we think that Amida, Again, the more we think, I don't want to revisit the whole thing, but the more we're impressed with the Hava Mina of Zvachim, Tezayin, Omed Aleph, Lamo de Lashares, that Amida of Eidos, right, is like Amida required in Avoda Vodas HaKarbanos, so that if you can't do that, so then the source may be Kavod or Ema, but at the end of the day, there's a Hafka, this person is Mufka from the Tzura of Hagadas Eidos. Is that what he means, or is he just saying Lamaisa, it's a Kavod problem? What?
He qualifies it with Bederach Bizayon.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but is the Bizayon the reason that there can be no Amida, but the lack of Amida, you know, is something that goes beyond the Kavod on the Bizayon? Or this is just, you know, a way of saying, hard to know. Very hard to know. Okay. Then you have the Sugya. That's the evidence in Shavuos. But again, is it possible to say that the Sugya in Shavuos is distinguishing between Malchei Beis David, you know, and Malchei Yisrael? Not impossible, right? But the fact that it sounds like, in contrast to Masachek Bekuvia, this is a Din D'oraisa, right, makes it difficult to say that. So you definitely have a totally opposite impression contrasting Sanhedrin and Shavuos. So what about Horios?
On
Chasim
Beis, you have the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. He seems to say that Shavuos is Chasim Beis, the he says that Nasi is going to be
What's the other mandama? Rab Shimon, before we get to that? Rab Shimon was of the opinion that a Nasi is excluded from all Korban Ola V'yored. What? Rab Yosef Gli, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Rab Shimon is the one on Tesamid Aleph. Sorry. Correct. So Rab Yosef Glili was of the opinion that a Nasi is excluded from all Korban Ola V'yored. He's only included in things like Chatas, because he's not subject to Dalos, so a Melech, and possibly Kohen Gadol as well, right, is excluded from that kind of a Korban. Wow, that's an amazing Shita, which would mean that a Melech, and maybe also a Kohen Gadol, are excluded from Korban, Shavuos Eidos, but has nothing to do with Shavuos Eidos, right? It has to do with the quality of the Korban that you have to bring. Korban Olavio, right? It's the same discussion in the Mishnah as, like, is there a korban par helim davar shel tzibor? Our palim davar shel tzibor is the korban that is brought when rov klal Yisrael, right, are violating the shogeg as a result of a incorrect psak of Bezen Hagadol. So we're being told that, you know, that only applies to chatas. It doesn't apply to an olavio, right? The Huadin, on an individual level, when a Melech or a Kohen Gadol, Melech meaning the Nasi, bring a Korban, right? So sometimes their Korban is different than Klal Yisrael's Korban, than an individual member of Klal Yisrael's Korban. So there are two issues. One is, when do we apply the Din of Paral and Davar Shel Tzibor, and when do we apply the unique individual Korban status of Kohen Gadol and Melech? Let's zero in on Melech in particular. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, right, Korban Shavuos Eidos is never brought by a Nasi, but not only that, but any Korban Ola V'yored because of the Din of Korban Ola V'yored. Okay. Then you have Rabbi Akiva, who says that that's not true, right? Meaning a Melech can bring a Korban Ola V'yored, he'll bring a Bitui, and so on, but
he doesn't bring a Korban Shavuos Eidos.
Why?
Because
he's not made and a sine qua non for Korban Shavuos Eidos, that he should be Roy Lahaid. So Rabbi Akiva seems to be the Pashto saying something very reasonable, right? Namely, that the particulars of Korban Shavuos Eidos, right, are not applicable, right, to a Melech. It seems like what Rabbi Akiva is saying is no different than what our Gemara is saying on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Correct? Okay, except that again, both of them, you could ask the question, like, why? Right? In other words, are we saying that a Melech, you know, let's say a Melech, you know, wanted to testify, or let's say there was some reason. What about, for example, you know, Isurim or Nefashos? If you think that makes a difference, right? Or if there was such a thing as Le Melech Chavero, right? Would it make a difference? Maybe Rabbi Akiva didn't say it in that case. Hard to know. Then you have Rabbi Shimon. Go ahead on Tesla Aleph. What does he say?
Rabbi Shimon on Tesla Aleph thinks that he's going to be high in all covered. The anasi is tied all covered all the yogis.
Yeah. Even Shua Sayyidus. Now the question is, what happened to the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva? Okay. So there seems to be an interesting argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon in Horios, right? One, let's say, sounds like the Sugya in Shua's, Rabbi Akiva. The other one sounds an awful lot like the Sugya in Sanhedrin, you could say, right? And then that ends up being, how do we paskin, like Rabbi Akiva or... Or Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Yosef Glili? The Rambam paskins, the Rambam tells you in Pirshim Shnayis and Horios that there are three views, and that he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. And so, Kachavin, Hilchos Shkagos, right, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Shimon. He says that a melech has a korban, maybe korban shuas ha'edas. Okay. And the Raibid,
he
says that Kohen Gadol is
Pater from
Tumas Mikdash,
and that
a
melech also
doesn't is Pater from Shua Seidus. The melech is Pater, Shua Seidus. Why is he Pater?
Presumably for the same reason.
Rabbi Akiva.
Yes.
Okay. So what is wrong with Rabbi Akiva? And what is Rambam? Okay, so that's in terms of Sanhedrin, Hori, have mixed views, and you have Machlokas and Horios, seemingly. You have an unequivocal impression in Sanhedrin and the opposite unequivocal impression in Shavuos. And what about the Rambam himself? So you have this Psak in Hilchos Shkagos. What does the Rambam say in Shavuos, Perakid Alach Aleph?
So there he says, seems to be himself and said that.
There he seems to say that there is no problem in Shavuos Eidos. And the Rambam even goes further, right, because he also seems to have expanded.
He doesn't make a difference between
Malchus Yisrael. He doesn't make a difference between Malchus Yisrael, and he also seems to say that if a melech were to be made,
it doesn't work at all.
That it wouldn't be effective. Right. The Gemara never ever said that, right? That's Ein Meidin can be interpreted in two ways. One is that he's not chayev lahayid, and the other is that a duso would not be effective. The Rambam. In one respect, as I say, the Rambam is the opposite of the Chinuch. Right? The Chinuch seems to say that a melech is made and that his obligation is greater than that of Kohen Gadol, whereas the Rambam seems to say that a melech, right, is mufka mi'edas. Right? Ah. So, the combination of Perek Yud, Halacha, and by the way, Minchas Chinuch, who's an equal opportunity, fair critic, right? Vociferously rejects both of them. He said, I don't understand the Sefer HaChinuch. It seems to be against, the Sugya in Shavuos and so on. I don't understand the Rambam. Because where did he get the idea that a melech who is made, right, is pasul lagamri, that the edus is not chal at all? It's interesting, again, given that the Rambam says that, might explain something else. I mentioned before that the Rambam, before we get to that, so the Rambam has two radical, opposite problems. On the one hand, in Hilchos Shkagos, right, he says that a melech is mevi a korban shuas ha'edus, and in Hilchos Shavuos he says, not only is he not chayav but korban shuas ha'edus, but he goes further and says a duso is ineffective. Right. So that seems to be two opposite extremes, each of which, in addition to a stira in between, and then you have also the lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. What's that? Do you have that? Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin. Again, David mentioned that, there are some girsos that say about, that say, ain made v'ain meidin, right?
Made u meidin alayim, sorry.
Take it back. But the which would align with the chinuch, I guess. But what's the language, that the typical language in Gimel Zayin?
So it says, Rabbi Anush, Malchim, Yisgalit, Gadanos, and Eden alayim, about Malchim, Yisgalit, Gadanos, and Eden alayim, Dana so go made room. Either also make sure Liban Gaspahan, the other men at Dora Takala, the Hesed Allah.
Yeah. So what's this, and what's and all the Nosa Kalim point out that what does the Rambam seem to be saying?
That
even Malchay Beis David
is Kashmir.
No. What does he say? One more time. What's the language?
Sorry, that he says that Malchay Beis David are dinosaur meiden aleihem.
Meiden aleihem, but he doesn't say they're made.
Right.
Right. Again, that David was pointing out there are other girsos that say meidu meiden aleihem, right? But the standard text of the Rambam is Me'idin Aleihem, but he omitted Me'id, right? Because he was trying to suggest that even Malchei Beis David are excluded from Eidos. Okay. And that, of course, would align with what he says in Hilchos Shavuos, right? Where not only the not Mechuyev Lahayid, but ein edus on edus. So how come the Rambam doesn't mention, if the melech is not made, right, how come the Rambam doesn't mention that in Perek Aleph Hilchos edus? Right? L'shitaso in Hilchos Malachim and in Hilchos Shavuos, right, shouldn't that have been mentioned in Perek Aleph Hilchos edus? Right? So again, in a way, what I'm really asking is, it seems like the Rambam differentiates between Melech, on the one hand, and Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, on the other. And we're asking a little bit why. Now, the irony is that we ask the same question about the Sefer HaChinuch. Right? We pointed out that's a Minchas Chinuch's problem with the Sefer HaChinuch. Right? Why would you say that Melech is made, you know, when it's clear in the Gemara that Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham are not made? Shouldn't you say who Adid or Kol Shekein? And that we already discussed, right? For the Rambam, it seems pretty clear that Melech is not, even Malchei Beis David is not made, right? But it's just interesting that he didn't bother writing that in Hilchos Eidos. But I think the answer to that question is clear. And that is that the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Eidos is limiting his din, is limiting the halakha to the Chiyuv Agada. I mean, what is Perek Aleph Hilchos Eidos? We spent time on this, right? Perek Aleph Hilchos Eidos halakha Aleph Beis and Gimel. The answer is it talks about, right, the Chiyuv Agada. So the Rambam says there's a Chiyuv Agada across the board, and then there is Talmud Chacham. There's a hierarchy in the Rambam, right? Talmud Chacham, who in Dine Mamanis is Mishum Kavod, is Potter Michi of Haggadah, right? The Rambam does use the expression, what's the language again? Yimana? What is it? Yeshol Himanos, or Yeshol Himana, Yeshol Himana, right? Which, as we know, is a debate how to interpret, right? That some interpret, the Chinuch certainly interpreted, the Mechas Chinuch in the end, you know, reluctantly agrees that that means, you know, bidyeved, but that l'chatchila should do it, trying to align the Rambam with Chazal Tzayach. I was trying to suggest that the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, v'yeshol himana, doesn't mean he could, it means he should, right? And I was suggesting that that's connected to his saying, hayaseh v'hayaseh, and all the things that we discussed already, fine. Then comes Kohen Gadol, which again, there's a debate. What does Tosis think? What does the Rambam think about Tosis and Sanhedrin, who says that just like Talmud Chacham, you know, in Isurim, is obligated to testify, right? Huadin, Kohen Gadol, and Melech. What does Rambam think about that, right? So some Mefarshim said, he agrees. Why wouldn't he, right? And then the others suggest that the diuk is that he makes that distinction in Halacha Beis and not in Halacha Gimel. So maybe what the Rambam is saying is that even in Isurim, Kohen Gadol, so there are two questions. Number one, Mutar lihimana or Chayev lihimana, all things being equal. Secondly, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, even in Isurim, right? But in the end of the day, the Rambam does not say either about Talmud Chacham or Kohen Gadol that in Heidu, right, Ein Eidus Ameidus, right? And he'd certainly, and that's not the impression that you have either, right? Yesh lehimana, even if yesh lehimana means he should, right? It doesn't mean that if he testified, eni duso edus. And even if you extend Kohen Gadol's right p'tur or preference, you know, lehimana to nefashos and to isurim, it certainly doesn't mean at all that he can't, right? On the other hand, when the Rambam speaks about Melech, he says he can't, and uses the expression earlier, depending on the girsa, as you guys correctly pointed out, either eino rashoi, which is more than the yeshlo lehimana, I'm guessing, right? Or eino roi, which is a stronger language and fits in better with the conclusion, right, in Heid, eine duso edus. So, what I'm trying to suggest is that the Rambam intentionally, differentiated between the two dinim, between Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, and Melech. Because he thought that, while it might also be rooted in Kavod, right, the din of Melech is a different madrega. It affects the kashrus, right, ha'edus. In that sense, let's say the following. That could be for two reasons. Number one, because of the din of emas olecha, the level, the quantitative level, or maybe the qualitative level of kavod melech. Maybe what I said for the chinuch, which is it conceivable that Kohen Gadol and Talmud Chacham are superior to Melech when it comes to this issue? I've tried to make the case, yes. But I think you could, both for quantitative and qualitative reasons, say exactly the opposite. Right? You might say that when it comes to Melech, right, the kavod, a muso, maybe connected to the Amida, whatever it is a more... it's not just a clash, in other words, as we've been saying all along, it's not just a triage, overriding. You have chiv agaras edus, klape chavero, klape bezdin, and then you have, the institutional or personal kavod. Maybe when it comes to Melech, it's both more, and maybe the institutional part is dafka more connected, right, to the malchus. For whatever reason, it's a different din. Maybe also highlighted by, or maybe also caused by, I'm not sure, the fact that there is an exception in Talmud Chacham. The exceptions are built in. There's no across-the-board thing that, Talmud Chacham per se, doesn't have a chiyuv agada, right? It also has to be triggered by, in the case of Talmud Chacham, as we know, the circumstances, right? And as we also discussed, the way the Gemara here in Shavuos formulates it, is that he's appearing in the presence of a dayan de zutar minei. Right, as we already pointed out, when it comes to the hisalamta in Hashavas Aveda, it's like, the quality of the Aveda, or more particularly, how you relate to the quality of that loss. When it comes to din, it's fascinating, right, that the issue isn't how much money is at stake and whether it's beneath your dignity, because number one, in din, there's no such halacha. Right, and in Aveda, you could talk about the value of the loss. Right, in Din, which is about justice and rights, as opposed to Chesed, the prevention of a loss, which is what Aveda is about. The value is irrelevant. It's the principle, and the principle. It's the principle of the law, rights, and it's also the principle of the integrity and rights of ownership. Apparently, that's not the case in Aveda. It's not a din in ownership. It's din in chesed, right, to prevent you from a loss. And therefore, the value of the object, or at least the value relative to how you, right, the person who would have to sacrifice his kavod, to stoop down, relate to it, is what's koveya. Okay. So that's one point. That's an important point, I think, an important principle. But that aside, the point is that it's expressed in Dayan de Zutar Minei, right, the Supreme Court justice showing up in the small claims court. And therefore, it's a very flexible, you wouldn't say it's a category, Talmud Chacham you know, Mufka from the Kiev Agada says. Practically, there are going to be many times where he's Chayiv. And even let's say he was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the universe. Okay? The, you know, what are they sometimes? The Mar D'Asra of the door. Although I personally think that since Moshe Rabbeinu, there hasn't been a Mar D'Asra of the whole door, but been great, a few, but I think that was the unique status of Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyways, the point is, so you know this person, whoever he's going to appear in front, is going to be the Zutar Mineh. Right? But still, that is always going to be, that could be true, and it's always going to be a coincidence. Right? You know, what happens when he loses his status, or somebody does, or just maybe it's a coincidence. Right? So, while there's this din of Talmud Chacham, right, there are built-in exceptions, and it's a kind of a dynamic, flexible, you know, kind of a thing. The same is true on another level to Kohen Gadol. Right? Because Kohen Gadol does appear for Melech. Again, you might say, how many cases are there going to be? You know? Fine. But at the end of the day, it's not an absolute hafka. What's the status of Melech vis-a-vis another Melech? Ah. So that is an interesting discussion, right? The Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch says, I don't know, maybe only Kohen Gadol for Melech, because that's one rung higher. You know, what about, you know, a Melech for a Melech? Assume you can have two Melechs at the same time, right? Not necessarily. The point is, even if there was a din of Melech for Melech, right, that might still be an internal Malchus din. The point is, not just because, quantitatively this is certainly true, but I'm also suggesting that maybe quantitatively there are 2 points, the level of Malchus and the exceptions. And qualitatively what I'm saying is there might be the nature of Kvod Malchus, right? And the idea that it is universal and across the board. When we were talking about the possibility of extending Tosfos to explain the psul of Nashim and Eidos, right, based on Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, and then Tosfos says, well, you know, let them decide. Right? And Tosfos said, they want to come to court, they don't want to come to court, right? Eidos. How do you know if understand Nashim is an exclusion? Maybe it just means that they have the choice. And then Tosa said, you can't have choice when it comes to Eidos. And there's no Eid Mi Pi Eid. So if you're Mechuyev, you got to come. So I was suggesting, and I mentioned that the Rav also suggested this, that you know, an approach might be to say, look, let's go with that line of thinking but come to a different conclusion. Namely, in the end of the day, yes, Chiyuv Agada, you can't have both. If you're going to have a Chiyuv Agada, right, if you're going to have Kosher Hechsher Eidos, right, then you have to have a Chiyuv Agada. And if there's no, if you don't want there to be a Chiyuv Agada under any circumstances, right, then maybe you have to build in a psul eidos. So is that kind of what happened to Melech? But only to Melech? And that's why there's a psul? Melech is that case. Maybe. So it's not mitzichasi daraisa. Even though it's rooted in kavod, but it's the kvod of Malchus with no exceptions and of a different caliber and a different status. So maybe that's the idea of the Rambam. Because if the idea of the Rambam only was that there's a, which I think is a simple pshat in the Gemara, that there's no Chiyuv Agada alone, hard to say because there's no Chiyuv Agada without this explanation, or if it's more variable, or it's up to the person if they want to come or not, that there's no Shem Eidos. Right? So I just one more second, and then I'll take the questions. The only thing that then remains is to explain, and that's why, again, the Rambam just deals with these things differently, because they're different. That's not a psul eidos, right? It says, we're not makabel as eidos. What about Hilchos Shkagos? So the approach to Hilchos Shkagos in general, again, we'll have to, I guess, finish this on Sunday just for a couple more minutes. Right. The approach of the Mefarshe, Arambam, generally, and you totally cannot blame them, was to try to find a hechtimtz. Right? To try to find a case where a melech, you know, can and must be made. So they talk, what about melech chavero? What about nefashos? Right? What about, again, how do you have nefashos? There's no chiyuv carbon shvus edus in nefashos. The answer is, oh, cases which have a little bit of both, right? Edacha besota, misa sabal, there's a ksuva, but there's also dina nefashos, right? That's a general approach. They say it in different ways. Maybe it's a case dafka where eid mipi eid will work, so you don't have the kavod problem. Right? That's a Milchas Chinuch's idea. Maybe it's a case where the melech, later on, he's by the time of the sheker, he's already a melech, or by the time he's going to bring the korban, he's a melech. But that's the kapos tmarim as that idea. But earlier, the chiyuv hagada and the zman, shvuas sheker was when he was still a hedyot, or let's say he was nitzareya. So he's mufka from being a melech for a short period of time. Meaning the idea, and they're fascinating in their own right. We'll just go through a few very quickly. But it's Tosas Yom Tov and Kapos Tmarim and the Minchas Chinuch and the Netziv. Everybody has like suggestions. They argue with each other about some of the suggestions, which is interesting. It's produced a whole interesting literature in its own right. But the idea is that basically with Rambam and Dechel Shavuos is pretty much the case. Some of the Minchas Chinuch has a diuk, I think, that there we're talking about where you need Shnayim, here we're talking about the Melech, Minchas Shkagos is talking about a case of the Melech as a Yachid, he's trying to dike that in the language of the Rambam. So basically you have two scenarios, right? Tosas Yom Tov has a very fascinating idea, which we'll just look at very quickly when we finish this on Sunday, that maybe, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Like, once you say this, what will Rabbi Akiva think? But if there's a case, let's say, Edecha Besota, or Sota, or Nefashos, and Nefashos with a momentous consequence, so why wouldn't Rabbi Akiva agree that Kahai Gavna, right, there should be a chi of Korban Shvuas Edus from Melech? So Tosfos Yom Tov has a line in which he says, Rabbi Akiva is saying something very formalistic. Rabbi Akiva is saying that since typically Melech is Mufka from the chi of Agada, right, so he's Pasul Edus, right, he's Mufka mi Korban Shvuas Edus, even when his Edus is going to be effective. That's a very remarkable Tosfos Yom Tov. Right? Again, it's a case where there's Hefsed Mamon, and even Hefsed Mamon maybe Al Yidei Eidus. Not saying it isn't Eidus. Maybe it's Hefsed Mamon even Al Yidei Eidus. But Begavra is Mufka from Korban Shavuos Eidus. That's the view of Rabbi Akiva. And the Rambam said, that's very exotic. I don't paskin like that. To me, it bends pragmatically. So I think these are the approaches that are taken. We'll just try to pin a few of them down. What I'd like to suggest is maybe something very radical but different. And that is, maybe we should take the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Yud, at his word. There really isn't a chi of Korban Shavuos Eidus, because the Eidus of a Melech is not Miskabel, and so on. Maybe all the Rambam meant in Hilchos Shkagos was, this may be how he understood Rav Shimon, is that almost like a restatement a rejection of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, but in a more forceful way. In other words, maybe what the Rambam is trying to say in Hilchos Shkagos is that from a Hilchos Shkagos point of view, a melech and a kohen gadol are not excluded from Korban Olav Yored. And they're not even excluded from Korban Shavuos Eidus. In other words, unlike the fact that there's no par helim davar shel tzibur, right? Unlike the view of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who says that this category of korban right, is not shayach to the individual status of melech and kohen gadol. So the Rambam's telling you that's wrong. You know, from the perspective of, from a Hilchos Shgogos perspective, from a Korbanos perspective, Melech and Kohen Gadol are, would have, right, individual applications of these dinim. Of course, there's a different question now, and that you have to look to Hilchos Shvuos for, and that is whether or not Lemaisa you're ever going to get a case of Korban Shvuos Eidus, and maybe the answer to that is no. So it's interesting. You have the language in Perek Perek Yud Halacha Zayin, but this will conclude for today. What is that? Why does he add that? Because that's what he's really, that's what the Sugyan Horius is really worried about. Meaning, does the special din of Melech versus Hedyot apply to Korban Olav Yored generally, right? And specifically even to these Korbanos, Betoras these Korbanos. That's why the Rambam added those words. Said, no, they don't. There's no difference. Keep going. Meaning, the din will apply, just as it applies in Hedyot. There'll be the special din of Melech or the special din of Kohen Gadol. Keep going. Oh, so why did the Rambam add that part in the end? Again, it could just be very innocuous. He said, by the way, if you want to know the actual dinim, you know, go look it up. Or is this the Rambam's way of saying, you know, go look it up, because Lemaisa, what I'm saying here might just be an abstract psak. Right? I mean, if you go look up Hilchos Shvuos, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, you'll see that there's no such case. But it's still important to establish the principle that from a Hilchos Melech and a Hilchos Shgogos point of view, right, that Shvuas Eidus and Shvuas Bitui, that all Korbanos Olav Yored are the same. Okay, Mashal Amad Over Dome. I'll just give you, since I gave you a Mashal on the same front, I'm kind of parallel. They're parallel. The problem in the Chinuch and the problem in the Rambam, in a way, are parallel opposite problems, and I'm suggesting the same solution. Namely, that both of them are not poskening in a practical way, they're poskening in a conceptual way. So the Rambam does this, we've seen this many, many times. I'll repeat one of my favorite examples, and that is a Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, right? In Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, Rambam starts off by saying that you should know, you know, the history of Hilchos Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, right? And, you know, the time of Yoshua, it was Kitcha, you know, the Kedusha Rishonu, Kitcha L'Shaita, the low Kitcha L'Yasid Lavo, but the Kedusha Shnia of Ezra was Kitcha L'Shaita, the Kitcha L'Yasid Lavo, because it was Ayidei Chazaka, not Ayidei Kibush, and therefore, the lands of Eretz Yisrael that were resettled by Ezra have Kedusha Saritz Daraisa, and the Chiyuv Trumas Amaisras, etc. Okay? That's what the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph through Hay of Hilchos Trumos. And then you get to Halacha Chavav, right, 21 or so halachos later, right, and then he drops the bombshell that, oh, by the way, you know, the Chiyuv, Chala, Trumos, and possibly Amaisros, you know, Bizman Azeh are Drabanan, because of Bias Kolchem. You need Bias Kolchem. And you didn't have Bias Kolchem in the time of Ezra. And therefore, the Kedushas Haaretz is not Daraisa, it's only Drabanan. Okay. So I often invoke this Rambam, right, just to demonstrate, you know, that the Rambam was doing two things at the same time in his code, right? On the one hand, certainly wrote it as a Sefer Psak Halacha, but when he had to choose, right, to emphasize, you know, this is a contemporary Sefer Psak Halacha, or this is a timeless representation or presentation of the totality or entirety of halacha, you know, organized, systematized in a way for you to understand, you know, the concepts and ideas and the values and so on. You know, if you couldn't do both at the same time with equal precision, you know, I think he often erred on the side of the system of the Lidore Doros, the, you know, being a classical work. So if the Rambam was interested in just telling you, by the way, is your Chiyuv Chala and Trumas HaMaisros Daraisa or Drabanan, right? Then it's very poorly constructed, because if somebody falls asleep or says, you know, I only learn one halakha every day, you know, so they're going to be, you know, in they're going to have the wrong psak for 21 more halakhas. Right. And it's not the only time that he does something like this. We discuss it many times. Right. But if what he's trying to say is, by the way, on the question of Kedushas Haaretz and the relationship between Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia, right, you should know that Kedusha Shnia is Kidshel Yasod Lavo. And by the way, you should also understand that even though Lemaisa, Trumas Maisos and Chala, may be Drabanan, right, there's still significance to the fact that Kedushas Ezra was Kidshel Shaitav and Kidshel Yasod Lavo. And maybe they're even Afgamina, because the Rambam, you know, goes on to mention the din in the middle there, like halacha yud or so, of yesh kinyan akum lahafkia mikdusha sa'aretz, or ein kinyan, if you hold kedusha daraisa, ein kinyan akum lahafkia mikdusha sa'aretz. Not so clear, this is a debate among the achronim, whether the Rambam, once you get to Perek Aleph, halacha chavav, does that neutralize what he wrote about yesh kinyan akum lahafkia post Ezra for Trumos, for Chala, for Maisra? Again, the details, I don't know what I want to confuse with the detail. I'm just trying to show that sometimes the Rambam certainly uses you know, his organization and the fact that he has this magnificent structure, this extensive structure. He definitely uses it for conceptual purposes. And sometimes there is a momentary, you know, a time lag between understanding the full picture or even having a misimpression when he can accomplish that goal. What I'm suggesting is that here, he says, look at Hilchos Shvuos. So you might have said, well, if you read Hilchos Shvuos, you don't have such a Heichat Timtzi. The Rambam is not concerned in Hilchos Shkogos about the Heichat Timtzis. He's concerned about the character of the Kabanos and particularly the status of Melech and Kohen Gadol. For that same reason, the Rambam doesn't update in a contemporary way so much. Now and then he does, but not to the extent that he could have, you know, Yad HaChazaka, because it was meant L'dori Doros, and it was meant to present a certain picture of the system. And if you want to get to the nitty-gritty, you know, all the time, you know, that can detract from that. Sometimes he does that in his tshuvas, sometimes he does it in other places. Yeah.
Yeah. The second of five in Hilchos Trumos, he quotes the Rambam saying that Heres Eretz Yisrael Shiyatzuchot Arts Peturim in Achalim and Trumos. And then he concludes by saying that Al Inachinami did within Heres Chutz La'aretz Chayav Medivrehem.
Right.
The Rambam says they're only Pater Namidin, they're only Pater Midin Heres Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So he says, the Rambam is saying he's Pater on one conceptual level, but Halacha,
right.
Halacha,
right, right, right. I think he does it very, I wouldn't say very often, but he does it. We've seen in our travels numerous examples of this. So, of course, if you say that, then you don't need to do what all the Mefarshim did. But the idea of the Tosas Yom Tov for Rabbi Akiva, I think it's fascinating. And some of the suggestions I want to just talk about very quickly, because what I'm suggesting is a little bit different. It isn't the standard explanation for the Rambam. So let's just talk a little bit more about that, and then I want to move to Dun Mino Mino quickly, just that Tosis and a few other things, and the talk about the Yerushalmi again, that we saw already about Karva Pasul and the Piyatzma, but especially I want to talk about Shkaga on Sunday. What's Ones? What's Omer? What about Omer Mutter? What about Kushta Kamri? I gave you those Marmer Kogos, right? You got them? And then we should move quickly to Lamed Beis, but we'll go through the Shach V'Tar, just plug in a few little holes. But our next is Eid Echad, Mashbiyah Eid Echad, the right Rimigash and the Rashi, and the Rambam, Eid Gimel. I'll give you a Marmer Kogos soon for that.